The purpose of this life is the preparation for the hereafter. The purpose of this life is the preparation for the hereafter.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله Respected Madani Channel viewers, welcome to one of our beautiful episodes, our beautiful series wherein we talk. We look at what happens after death, what happens after when we die. Our beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has stated beautifully in a hadith that the one who sent a lot of salutations upon Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that will be a means for his purification. So let us, in every time, every day, every minute that we have in this short life in this dunya, send a lot of salutations upon our beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Salatu wa salaman alayka ya sayyidi ya habibi ya Rasulallah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now in this topic of discussion, we are going to look at those questions. What happens in the grave? The questioning of the deceased in the grave. That will be our topic for today. Wherein we are going to look at the traditions of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what the Messenger of Islam sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what he said with regards to this phenomenon, with regards to something like this, which we do not want to discuss many a times, for we feel that it will give us sadness. But on the contrary, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said that if you constantly remember death, it will make you to be aware of the presence of Allah Azza wa Jal. It will make you to remember Allah Azza wa Jal, and it will also remind you that we are in this dunya as passers-by. We are in this dunya as travelers. Like another beautiful narration states that, is there any person who can try and build a place of stay, a big mansion, what have you, like we're having nowadays? On your way, on your journey, can a person do something like that? It will be quite unreasonable that a person is traveling from one point to the other. Then before they reach that point, they decide to say, you know what, let me just build a big, big place for me to stay and have all this comfort and relax. But on the contrary, a person who is wise, you know that, no, I'm on a journey, so I must just have provisions that are enough for me for where I'm going, for my destination. So hence we'll find that in our series, What Happens After Death, we try and highlight those things according to the narration of our beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, and according to the sayings of our pious awliya ikram alayhim rahma, who out of being inspired by Allah Azza wa Jal, they're able to inform us of some of these things that happens in the grave. So now we are going to look at the questioning of the deceased in the qabr. For Allah Azza wa Jal, He created us in this dunya for a purpose, that is to worship Allah Azza wa Jal. And it is like a big examination that we are having. So we are given the material to study. Like if you go to university, if you go to any institute of learning, you are given material for you to study. Then after that, most definitely, the exams will then follow. Likewise, we have been given materials to study in this dunya. We have been given the eyes to see. We have been given the ears to see. We have been given all cognitive features so that we are able to recognize the magnificence of our Creator, Allah Azza wa Jal, so that we are able to follow Allah Azza wa Jal's commandments. For if we do not have much of these cognitive features, then it will become quite impossible. So it is a big examination. Then on the day we are placed in our qabr, then the question starts. Allah Azza wa Jal give us a time period in this dunya. thereafter that it expires. And when it expires, it can never be increased by a minute or a millisecond. When the time is up, the time is up. There is nothing that we can do. Now what happens in the qabr is of utmost importance. Now that is a dark place. Now in comparison to this dunya where we are living in, we are used to live in spacious houses. We are used to living in big, big houses. But now when you look at the qabr, you look at the qabr, reality knocks in, reality kicks in. You see it, you say, well, oh, now this is my reality. This is where I'm going to rest. This is where everything starts. Everything starts from here. If I make it here, then I will have passed my examination with flying colors. It is not an easy place to be. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned in numerous ahadith that the qabr, it always addresses the people. It always addresses, say, I'm ana baytul wahsha, ana baytul wahda, ana qabr. Say that I am the house of horror. I am the grave. I am that house of loneliness. You are used to be in this dunya, to be with family and friends. You are used to be in this dunya, having companions, having friends, having relatives, having spouses, having children, having people who make you feel comfortable. But then again, all of these people, none of them can be with us in our qabr. No matter how much they love us, the qabr is made for one person, and you have to be buried in that grave, and you are alone in that grave. They are going to walk away, and you are going to be left alone in that grave. So now we are going to look at what happens then in that qabr, the questioning of Munkar and Nakir. What do the narrations of our master, of our beloved Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, state to us? Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Salatu wa salaman alayka ya sayyidi ya habibi ya rasulallah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Hazrat Jabir radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, he reported that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, man does not know what has been created for him. When Allah wills to create a human, Allah says, record or write his sustenance, record his footprints, write the time of his death, and write his goodness or his badness. Allah Azza wa Jal, he then sends an angel that protects him. Allah then appoints two angels over him who are appointed to record his good and bad deeds. When the time of his death approaches, both these angels leave him, and Malakul Maut arrives and removes his soul. After this person is placed in this grave, his soul is returned to Malakul Maut, and the angels of the grave appear to him and questioning him and testing him. Then when Qiyamah is established, the angel of goodness will descend, and with him the angel of badness will also descend. They will then open the book that is strapped to his neck. After mentioning this, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, there is a very difficult situation which is ahead of you, for which you do not have the strength to handle. So seek Allah's assistance. This is the summary of what will happen according to this narration of our beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam. This is the summary of what happens from the moment we die, the moment we are carried to our burial place, the moment we are placed in our qabr, the questioning in the qabr, and then again the day of judgment. All of these things, what happens, our book of deeds being presented to us. If we are fortunate enough to be covered with the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jal, inshaAllah, which we all hope for and we should pray for, inshaAllah, then our book of deeds will be given to us in our right hand. And that will be a day of Eid for each and every person. For tell me, how joyous can one be more than being given his book or her book of deeds in their right hand? And sadly enough for that person who will be given their book of deeds in their left hand, meaning to say, well, they disobeyed Allah Azza wa Jal in this dunya, they didn't follow the commandments of Allah Azza wa Jal, they neglected the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. By not following the commandments of Allah Azza wa Jal, it means a person was not in namazi, a person was in performing their salah, a person was neglectful of their salah. A person wasn't a fasting person. Whenever it's time to fast, in time of Ramadan, 100,000 excuses come up. 100,000 illnesses come up. But when it's outside the month of Ramadan, all of the sicknesses, we don't see them. But when Ramadan comes, then all of these excuses come about. And we think that well, they've gotten away in this dunya. But no, sadly enough, we won't have gotten away from it in this dunya. It will still follow us in our qabr. It will still follow us on the day of judgment. Allah is just, and everyone will be dealt with justly, and no one will be treated unjustly. For Allah Azza wa Jal, He is just. Now, lastly, my respected brothers in the religion of Islam, there is another hadith highlighting one of the importance also of our namaz, of our Quran. Hadrat Ubadah bin Samit radiallahu ta'ala anhu reported, when you recite the Quran at night, then recite in a loud voice, because shaitan and the mischievous jinn flee due to this, and the angels who reside in the winds and also the people of the house listen to it. Let us take heed and take lesson from this narration of Aqa Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. In addition, when a person recites Quran in salah, then others look at him and perform namaz as well. This is a person who performs, not the one who performs out of to be seen or out of to be ostentatious or whatever the case may be. It's so sad that sometimes you want to recite, you want to perform salah so that you be called a namazi or to be called a pious person. Sometimes we recite the glorious Quran so that people be happy with us, how melodious our voices are. If it will be the case, then we won't reap the benefit of the Quran, we won't reap the benefit of the salah. When this night passes, the hadith carries on now, then the night makes a wasiyah to the forthcoming night, saying, you should wake this sincere worshipper in the same manner and become easy for him. Then, when the time of his death approaches, the Quran comes to rest at his headside. And when the people complete giving ghusl to him, the Quran enters into his chest and into his coffin. And when Munkar and Nakir appear to him in his grave, the Quran becomes a veil between them and the deceased. The angels will say to the Quran, move away from between us. As we wish to question him, the Quran will say, by Allah Azza wa Jal, I will not leave him until such a time that he does not enter into Jannah. So if you have been given any command with regards to him, then fulfill it. The Quran then looks at the deceased and says, you used to keep me awake for the entire night, and you kept me thirsty the entire day. You abstained from inner desire, be it that of the eyes or of the ears. So now you will find me to be your best friend and brother. Now listen to the glad tidings. You will not be questioned by Munkar and Nakir. Both Munkar and Nakir will then leave him, and the Quran will present itself in the divine court of Almighty Allah Azza wa Jal, and the Quran then requests for bedding and a sheet for the deceased and brings it back to him. 1,000 angels bring with them lamps of Jannah and jasmine flowers. But the Quran reaches the grave even before them and says, did you not become scared after I left? Now this is your companion in the grave asking you, did you not feel scared? Did you not become scared after I left? I only left to go into the court of Almighty Allah to request bedding, sheets and lamps for you. I have now returned with all of these. The angel then enter and make his bed and place the sheet under his feet, and they keep the jasmine flowers near his chest. He will attain its fragrance until the establishment of Qiyamah. He then visits his family once or twice in a day, making dua for their goodness and for their eminence. If anyone from amongst his children is becoming hafidhul Qur'an, or memorizing the Qur'an, he becomes pleased. And if any of them becomes bad, he is saddened by this. And this routine of his will continue until the trumpet is blown. Now this is another fundamental important point that we should try and send our loved ones, our children to madrasa to learn the glorious Quran. We should try and encourage our family members, our household members to engage in a lot of adhkar, to engage in a lot of ibadat, so that when we leave this dunya, we'll leave this dunya in a very peaceful manner, and when we come to visit, for the souls come and visit, we'll find, inshallah azza wa jal, we'll find them in a manner that we taught them in this dunya, and what a wonderful thing that will be. You find that Dawat Islami, mashallah, alhamdulillah, there are so many Jamiatul Madina. If you want to send your child to study, if you want to send your son or your daughter to become alim, to become alima, to become hafidh or hafidha, then you send them to this institute of learning, for they are going to gain a great amount, a great deal of knowledge from such institutes. They will come out from there as true lovers of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as the ones who love to implement the sunnah of our beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. And lastly, we pray to Allah Azza wa Jal to make us to be amongst those people who love to recite the Quran day and night, insha'Allah. Ameen. Bijahi Nabi al-Ameen. Wa sallallahu ala Sayyidina wa Nabiyyina wa Mawlana Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam.
The purpose of this life is the preparation for the hereafter. The purpose of this life is the preparation.